welcome to this episode 25 of Bratchcast. I'm Ian Pritchard, and as always, Ross Fring.
Hello.
Well, a little giggle straight out of the way.
You're going with me on that. It's episode 25.
Yeah.
I hope it is.
Once again, does every episode start with
egg
this?
Egg on our face.
Maybe so. If we're wrong, please let us know. But I'm pretty sure it is 25. We'll be just fine. But yeah, we missed last week because stuff. I can't even remember what the reason was. I think it was something to do with me, so I do apologise.
Yeah.
But we're here this week. Ross has plenty of news about buying loads of consoles and getting a new job and stuff. Before we get to that, I mean, we haven't spoken about movies for ages, and I'm not sure if you've had the chance to go to the cinema recently.
No.
So I take you haven't seen Die Hard 5?
I have not, and I do not intend to.
Oh, don't bother. I mean, is that because you don't like Die Hard, or Die Hard 5 looks shit?
I actually quite enjoyed Die Hard 4.
Die Hard 4, I tell you what, it's almost worth watching Die Hard 5, because you'll like Die Hard 4 more. Because
right.
That was, like, Die Hard 4 still isn't as good as the original three.
Yeah.
But I didn't think it was a bad movie. It kind of got a bit too ridiculous at some points, like, you know, when he threw the car into the helicopter and the bit when the plane chased him in the truck. But it's
To be honest, I don't mind the plate, like, the physics of the car into the helicopter isn't quite so ridiculous as the jump jet in the middle of the city.
Yeah, and like how every time like the part of the bridge gets shot and he drives up it. It's not so much that I have a problem with the spectacle. It's more like it's kind of moving a bit too beyond, you know, because the whole idea is that John McClane's supposed to be an everyday man and he can deal with this stuff and he's put in these ridiculous situations. But that one just felt like they might have pushed it a bit too far.
Yeah.
But it was still a decent movie. It still felt like a Die Hard film. He still felt like John McClane, which was the most important thing. And despite what people say, Timothy Oliphant, I thought he was okay as the bad guy.
Yeah, he's menacing.
In his own kind of unique way. And they needed to do something different, you know, with each character. And I thought that, you know, he did a pretty decent job there.
Playing on the traditional kind of American fears, you know, someone's going to bring down the American way.
Yeah, totally. But now it's with them internet.
They broke the internet.
Oh, someone broke the fucking internet. Everything. Timothy Oliphant has only gone and broken them internet.
They're hacking all our webs.
Oh, what are we going to do? We have to get John McClane.
Yeah.
You'll be able to fix them internet. Oh, of course, yes, go see Kevin Smith because, you know, they need the kind of fat computer guy.
Yeah.
The only thing I'm not too far is, like, Justin Long's a bit annoying in it. But I can put up with
it. He mans up by the end of it.
Yeah, he's a bit better. He's like the comedy sidekick and he's just about passable, I suppose.
Yeah.
But as I said, that film is fine without being great, but it still feels like a Die Hard film. Just like a lesser Die Hard film. Die Hard 5 doesn't even feel like a Die Hard... Die Hard 5 isn't just a bad Die Hard film, it's just a bad action film.
He has a son from out of nowhere as well.
The thing is, the son's not the problem. I actually think he's okay. And a lot of people say, oh, they've got no chemistry. It's not that they don't have chemistry. They don't have a script.
Right, okay.
It's like they've taken... All right, we've got an idea for 6 set pieces, and we're going to join them together using a random word generator.
Yeah.
And that's about... He literally... John McClane says, I'm on vacation about 7 fucking times in this movie. He just keeps repeating it. Bizarrely, he's not even on fucking vacation. It makes no sense. He's there to see his son, to pick, like, save his son or whatever.
Yeah.
But, you know, some of the set pieces are... The nicest thing I can say about it is that it's competently shot.
Yeah.
But he's no longer John McClane. He's going out looking for trouble now, which goes against everything John McClane is.
Yeah, he just wants peace and to be left alone.
Yeah, and he'll kind of deal with it if he has to. He'll kind of, you know, do the right thing and all that jazz. But he's not very good in it. But it's the script. The script is terrible. The film's only 90 minutes long. And you just think, where's the rest of the movie? There might be a better cut out there.
Yeah.
In which they actually kind of tie the film together and make you give a shit about anything. But it was like, you know, an early contender for most disappointing film of the year. I'm sure I might see worse films, but in terms of disappointment, that is like right up there at the start of the film.
I don't know, to be honest with you, they didn't hype it as much.
I don't know, I mean, it still did pretty big business. And, I saw a lot of adverts, and there was all those famous things with Bruce Willis going on to, like, the One Show and then just not giving a fuck. I think he knew the film was a bit of a turd, to be honest.
Yeah.
But it's his fault, because he must have so much power over that franchise now. Surely sometimes he's just like, oh, come on, he's not saying this.
He can't do this without me, so...
Yeah. Like, I thought he would have, you know, maybe kind of pushed in the right direction, but Die Hard 5, just utter bollocks. Strangely enough, though, it hasn't put me off the idea of a Die Hard 6. I want them to kind of fix it. I don't want it to end on that note. It's kind of like the same with Crystal Skull. While I didn't hate that film as much as some people did, it was still shit.
Yeah.
And I don't want the series to end on that note.
Part of what is where they could possibly take it from here is like...
What? Die Hard?
Die Hard.
Go down. Go the other way.
Terrorists need to take down a retirement home.
Well, maybe so, but the thing is they need to make it more small scale. Like the first one, I know it seems ridiculous to say small scale because it's in a giant high-rise building, but you had that kind of high concept where it's just in the building.
Yeah.
And, you know, obviously you can't do that again because The Raid and Dread did that last year to such positive effect. I mean, those films were amazing.
Yeah.
But I just think make it smaller. Make it more personal again, yeah, you know, yeah. Rather than, like, him driving a tank, whatever it was, around Russia. It's just like, for fuck's sake, this is ridiculous.
Yeah, of course, because he's a police officer, so he's going to know how to drive a tank.
Of course. I'm not even sure if it was a tank. I don't even remember. It was bullshit. But anyway, the thing is, it's just been a bit of a slow start to the year for me because, I mean, that's kind of come out, which was shit. The films at the moment, like the big Hollywood releases, I have no interest in, like, Jack and the Giant Beanstalk, or it's called, Jack and the Giant.
Yeah.
The new Bryan Singer one.
It's got...
That looks gash.
It's got Ewan McGregor in it.
Yeah, don't like the look of it. Yeah. It's rare that Ewan McGregor sells me on a film, in fairness. And what's the other one? The Great and Wonderful Oz. I'm getting all the titles.
Apparently that one is good.
Yeah, but it's made by the same people who made Alice in Wonderland, which was an utter turd, I thought.
Some people really liked it.
I know, it made billions. That made a lot of money, that film, but I didn't like it. I didn't like the visual style. And the thing is, it might be a decent film, and I have heard some good things, but I look at it and I just can't get excited about it.
There's one, who knew Jennifer Lopez was still alive?
I know, right? Like, and she's in movies.
I've never enjoyed anything with Jason Statham.
Anything? Well, have you seen Crank, sir?
Snatch was okay.
Snatch, brilliant. Have you seen Crank, though? Oh, yeah, Crank. Crank 1 and 2.
Is that not like his heart will stop if he doesn't keep his adrenaline?
Yeah, right? That film is so retarded. I've never seen a film embrace its retardedness with such success.
Shoot 'em up. You should watch Shoot 'em Up.
No, this is on a whole different level of retardedness.
Yeah?
Oh, yeah. I mean, Shoot 'em Up, I was looking forward to that and I thought it was a bit disappointing.
I liked it.
It was fine. But Crank is better. Unquestioned. Like, it's just absurd film. The second one, if anything, goes a little bit too far.
He bumps up against an old lady to get a
electric charge. Although, in fairness, it did have the best tagline of any movie ever. He died, but he got better.
Oh,
and I was like, that is a... Because I was like, how can they make a sequel? He's dead. And just
We'll just rip off Monty Python.
They just ignore enough. I was like, yeah, but it worked for the film. That was fine. But, I mean, like, there are some films coming out soon, which I'm, like, Oblivion... Which looks like Wally for grown-ups.
That does look good.
Doesn't it?
Kyla's like, oh, why is it him?
Tom Cruise. What is wrong with your namesake?
I totally understand why people don't like him.
But on the screen...
As a person, he's insufferable.
Yeah, as a person, he's... Well, all that Scientology stuff. Yeah, it's annoying. But as an actor, and again, more importantly, as a movie star...
Yeah.
Like, I've said this before, he holds the screen. That
I think it can be good.
I think so too. I think it looks the part.
It certainly looks good.
Yeah, it looks impressive. And the thing is, you know, Tom Cruise in sci-fi, really, really does he go wrong.
Yeah, well, Minority Report was
amazing. War of the Worlds, I loved. I know these are all Spielberg films. You didn't like War of the Worlds?
No.
Ah, dude, the bit in the start when they came out
that
the floor.
Little girl that will not shut the fuck up. Is that Dakota Fanning?
Dakota Fanning, yeah. She is properly annoying
in that
film.
She screams the whole film.
Yeah, I know. I can't defend that. She needs to be removed from the film in its entirety. But other than her being an utter pain in the ass, sorry, phone, the rest of the film's really good.
Yeah.
Like it's almost like a horror film sometimes. And I just always remember that scene when it comes up through the ground and the church splits down the middle and stuff, and obviously it makes that noise when they come out and then just starts blasting everyone, turning into dust. I was like, and it's not just that, it looked amazing. I've seen it and I'm just thinking, that is properly scary. But well, I thought when they just start just wiping people out.
I remember my first experience in War of the Worlds was the original radio broadcast.
Oh, I didn't know you were 76.
As it was broadcast.
Wait, when was the original broadcast?
Right, no. Basically, it had come taped to the front of Empire magazine.
Oh,
the
okay.
Cassette.
I thought you were either really old or you went back in time.
Yeah, I'm actually Benjamin Button.
Benjamin Button, or maybe you owned a DeLorean. God, wouldn't that be cool? Anyway.
And I heard the actual radio broadcast and the noises, like Orson Welles, I think, went to jail for it.
Oh, for scaring the shit out of people originally. Yeah, yeah, because people thought it was real, didn't they?
Yeah, well, it was broadcast as real.
Well, they've even done something, obviously not on such a major scale, but I'm not sure if you remember a show on BBC was released years ago.
Is that the ghosts?
Yeah, where they...
Michael Parkinson. So many complaints from stupid people.
So, but I remember watching that, because I was really young when
it was very cleverly done.
I remember that scared me when I was like really
where it's panning around very quickly and there's clearly something there.
Yeah, yeah. It was kind of like a precursor to like the Blair Witch and Paranormal Activity.
Well, found film, yeah.
Yeah, it was actually pretty clever, but yeah, it just scared the shit. Like a lot of people just tuned in. It's like, this is fucking terrifying. But yeah, War of the Worlds, you can imagine, especially with it being relatively new technology, I guess, like people hear this and they're like, I'm used to believing everything I hear on the radio.
Plus the way they broadcast it, you know, it wasn't just like, this is what's happening. It's like, oh, we take you now live to here. Mm-hmm. We interrupt your music and then they go back to the music for a couple of minutes.
Yeah, kind of really sell it as a genuine broadcast. It's very clever.
Yeah.
It really was. And as I said, I mean, the film I thought was fantastic, minus Dakota Fanning. Yeah, she was a dick. But Iron Man 3, though, that's coming out soon. Strange enough, I can't get excited about that. I think it'll be good because I like Shane Black's kind of input, you know, as a director.
Yeah.
Like, I like his stuff and, you know, everyone loved him as Hawkins in The Predator.
I really like the bit at the end of the newer trailer where you see all the Hulk suits. Mm-hmm. So the Iron Man suit,
yeah.
But one of them is the Hulkbuster.
Is it? I didn't even notice.
Yeah, so like he's basically like, you know what army he says or something.
Oh yeah, it's, yeah, like, yeah. This one,
and it's literally like a bunch of his different models.
It looks cool, and I'm sure it'll be good. But part of me is just like, oh, another Iron Man film.
As long as they've got plenty of Tony Stark, I don't really care.
Yeah,
Robert Downey Jr. Sells those movies.
It'll be good. It'll be good. Maybe because at the moment we haven't seen much of, because they're keeping the Mandarin relatively under wraps. Because you see him,
yeah.
But you don't know what his deal is at the moment. Kind of like how he's going about his business. Because remember, like, you know, when they sold the second one, you know, Mickey Rourke was front and center, wasn't he? Like you saw him with the whips at like the Indy 500 race and all that jazz. But with this one, you're like, I'm not quite sure what he's going to be doing. Dastardly stuff, I'm sure.
Yeah, yeah.
But, yeah, that's out relatively soon, though.
April? I think it's the end of April.
Yeah, I think so. Although, if the film's in April, and we will get to video games in a minute, unquestionably the one I'm looking forward to most is the Evil Dead remake. Like, I am properly looking forward to that.
I don't even know if Kara's going to want to go and see that.
Why, too gruesome?
No. Kara's the one that introduced me to the Evil Dead.
This one looks... Have you seen the Red Band trailer?
No.
Oh, dude, it looks fucked. Anyone listens to this, I mean, you know, even if you're like, oh my god, Evil Dead, you know, without Ash and stuff.
It's
basically a remake of the first one.
Yeah.
Like, not, like, it's, there's no so comedy in it.
It's serious,
It's
yeah.
serious, but it's by today's standards, and from, like, just the trailer, it looks horrifying.
Yeah.
Like, really, really gruesome stuff. So, and everything I've heard about it is being relatively positive, so, because I haven't seen a good horror film for a while, so I'm really looking forward to this.
You're a much bigger horror film fan than I am.
I do like horror films. Part of it is just watching horror films and then them turning out to be shit, and just kind of tearing them apart as you go. I've always quite, like, it's the only genre where I'll enjoy watching a shit movie.
Yeah.
I can watch a shit horror film and still enjoy it. I mean, I won't go into film, like, if I know it's shit, but, sorry, Paul Rossi seems to have a cold. But yeah, I can still enjoy them, even if they're budget. It's the beauty of horror films. But I'm expecting this one to be good. This one better not
be shit. Well, Sam Raimi and Bruce Campbell are both happy with it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, they're involved. Executive producers and all that jazz.
And
but,
director, I think.
But yeah, with, you know, movies out of the way and my hatred of Die Hard well and truly kind of run through the mill, you've got a new job and you've gone out and bought, like, every console ever.
I was due a phone upgrade, so I...
got a Wii and a PS3?
Yeah, basically I upgraded and got like a new phone and a console with it.
What'd you get with it? The PS3?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
But what I ended up doing was taking them to CEX and trading them in.
What, the console?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because it was a 12 GB slim, super slim.
Oh, console.
So it's ugly as fuck.
Ugly
with a tiny
as
hard drive.
Fuck, yeah.
So I traded it in for 160 regular slim and a Wii.
You actually got that deal?
Yeah.
And you didn't have to pay anything?
That was about it.
That's fucking bonkers. For one, the Slim is actually quite a nice looking console.
Yeah.
Like, that's the one I've got, and it's easily the best. Although, I had a soft spot for the chunky one. I only got rid of the chunky one because I needed more memory.
To be honest with you...
I thought it looked expensive.
They have a reputation still for yellow lighting.
Oh, yeah, yeah, I know they have the problems. I'm just talking purely aesthetic.
Yeah, yeah.
But I have a soft spot for... Because the thing is, the size difference makes no difference to me because of where it sits. Mm-hmm. It just sits under the TV.
It does
so.
For me. I mean, it's sitting next to my Xbox and I've had to move stuff around just to
set
everything.
So, I mean, if size was an issue, fair enough. But it was on a purely aesthetic one basis. I actually like both the slim and the original fat one. As I said, the original fat one looked like a luxury product. Looked like it cost money.
It looked like a George Foreman grill.
It did. Properly expensive George Foreman grill. But the new one, I mean, we've talked about this before. What an ugly fucking console.
Everything's made plastic.
I mean, even the new Nintendo Mini, the Wii Small, Wii Tiny, whatever you want to call it.
The black and red one.
Yeah, that looks like it's supposed to be made out of plastic and a cheap piece of shit. But aesthetically, I actually quite like it.
To be honest, the Wii's always been kind of plasticky.
The thing is, though, the Wii's a nice looking console.
Yeah.
I think so. It's very simple. I like the little blue light.
The blue light that comes
on, it's a classy looking console. I actually prefer the Wii to the Wii U. The Wii U's really long, and I don't like the kind of rounded edges so much. I thought the Wii just looked classy, just like a little rectangle.
Yeah.
Out of the consoles, it's probably the best looking one. Although they're all, none of them are bad now. Like, you know, if you take the PS3 Slim, that's not too bad. The 360 Slim's not bad.
I mean, my 360
Slim. Yeah, your 360 Slim's amazing, because it's R2-D2 and it makes the little noise and stuff. But, it'll be interesting to see what the PS3 and 720 or whatever it is look like. I wonder if they'll, like, PS4. Really go to town. PS4, yeah. Sorry, I do apologize. Because Sony, like, recently, with a lot of their kind of new products, have been a bit more experimental with the kind of visual style.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, the box doesn't matter, so maybe they will try and do something a bit different.
Yeah.
They'll probably be black, though. I doubt they're going to go back to grey, put it that way.
Yeah, that horrible grey.
That was an ugly-ass console. That was easily one of the ugliest consoles
ever. Well, back then, all the Nintendo consoles were grey.
Yeah, they were ugly too. I mean, the thing is, the Nintendo 64 looked like a toy.
The SNES only got ugly with age, and if you were in a smoker's house, that thing went yellow.
Yeah, it was gross. Quick. The NES still looks great, I think.
Yeah.
Just that, again, like the Wii, it's like the Wii of Estate, it's just a box. Yeah. But it had like a certain charm to it.
A box with like a little set of legs on.
Oh, bless it. Love the NES. Everyone loves the NES. But I still think my favourite looking console aesthetically is probably still the Dreamcast. I fucking love the Dreamcast.
I think that's biased. Because, like, I just think you have a thing for the Dreamcast.
I do have a thing for the Dreamcast.
Because
I'm rocking a semi just talking about it. I love the Dreamcast.
I really don't think it's that pretty.
Really?
So, yeah.
Compared to the PS2.
It was a block.
Yeah, but it looks so cool.
And it had white irregular edges.
Contours.
Ah, right, okay, yeah.
Just like little wings. Yeah. And it sounded like a jet engine going off when you turned it on.
Yeah.
I remember, like, now when you turn it on, because I still play it so often, like, Jesus Christ, that's loud. I remember the first time I turned it on when I bought it for Christmas, I was like, my God, this sounds expensive. I was so fucking impressed.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm probably full of shit.
I mean, the old PlayStation one was pretty ugly, because it was, like,
PlayStation one was ugly shit.
Rectangle with, like, the ripples down the side.
Sega Saturn was just a box. The Xbox was a big box.
It wasn't unattractive, it was just ridiculously sized.
You think maybe because it was so big, I'm kind of blinded to the aesthetic.
I liked the big X on the front.
If it had been like half the size, you think it might have actually been okay, it might have been kind of cool with like the distro.
Yeah.
But, I mean, again, I was playing it recently.
It's like having a microwave under your TV.
It's so fucking big. It's so fucking big.
Yeah.
But yeah, so you've got all the consoles now, so you can steal some, like, you can finally play Mario Galaxy 2 properly.
I need to steal it from Stuart.
Twilight Princess.
Yeah, I bought Twilight Princess.
Fine.
Because I figure it's a tenner.
Yeah, and
it as well.
And it made my top 10 games of the generation.
Yeah.
It might sneak onto yours, sir, who knows. I doubt it will now.
It definitely looks dated, it is a sad thing, but...
Love the art style, though.
It's a good looking game. Link still looks a bit too much like a girl.
I don't know. I really think they nailed the kind of aesthetic on that one. I really did like it. But
of course, I'm only 4 hours in or so he's not Link yet. He's not like...
Oh, he's not Link.
The child of time.
I thought that game took a while to get going, because I remember playing it for like 4 or 5 hours and then leaving it for like a year or two.
I've just hit Wolf form.
Well, funnily enough, the exact same thing has happened to me with Skyward Sword, because since I've got the new TV in the spare room, I've been playing. I was like, I've really got to go back to Skyward Sword. So I was like 6 hours in, and I was like, I'm not really enjoying this. And now I've gone back to it, and I'm well into it now.
Yeah.
Like I'm only playing it like an hour here and there, but I'm thoroughly enjoying it. Like the art style seems to click so much more now.
Yeah.
It really does look like a painting. Again, there's still part of you which thinks, I wish this was in HD because it would look fucking phenomenal.
Yeah.
But the one thing I will say is, like, playing that after, because I've played some kind of mixed bags, we say, with games recently.
Okay.
Like, going in and playing Zelda reminds you of just how polished these games are. Like, yeah. Every, whether you like it or not, you can't help but like play it and just like, this is polished within an inch of his life.
Yeah.
Everything works perfectly. Like, you know, if you don't like it, it's fair enough. But you're never kind of struggling with the controls. You're never struggling with the mechanics or the game world. It's like, this just works. Like, they've kind of, you know, made sure every corner is...
To be honest, the game certainly changes, but the gameplay never changes that dramatically.
In Zelda?
Yeah.
No.
Going, like, it hasn't really changed that much since Ocarina.
No, even now, like, everyone's talking about the controller.
You consider that you lock on, and then your range of attacks is really quite limited.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's not necessarily a bad thing.
No, and even Skyward Sword, you know, there's all this chat about having to actually kind of aim your swings and stuff.
Yeah.
The fundamentals behind it are still the same as it's always been. You know, it's still a Zelda game, and it still feels like every other Zelda game to a certain degree. Like, it has moved on. And in fairness, the way they kind of implement the additional items in that game feels more organic. Like, you still do it in the same way, but, you know, like, usually you kind of get an item and you use it in that dungeon, and you're like, okay, that works in the dungeon. It feels like these work, like, you don't just use it here, you can use it anywhere.
Right, okay.
So it's kind of more open to, you know, different uses. But yeah, really, really good game, but still very much Zelda. But yeah, new job.
Yes.
In the game industry.
Yes.
Oh, exciting times. Three screens on your desk.
I am now an industry insider.
It's all coming up, Ross. What the fuck?
Oh, man. It's...
And I'm working in fucking finance. It is an absolute disgrace.
The last couple of weeks have been fantastic.
It's just raining consoles and game jobs. Yeah,
After going to Game in Scotland, this Game and Recruitment Fair in Dundee,
I was honestly expecting to kind of walk into the flat and see you having a blowjob, you know, but it's just...
Having a blowjob.
How would you say it?
You would hopefully say receiving.
Receiving?
Because it's either that or given, and that's not coming up, Ross.
I know, having a blowjob. Does that not work? Look, he's having a blowjob. No, it does sound strange, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Like, it kind of works, but yeah. Yeah, he's receiving a blowjob. Anyway.
It's like watching a porn.
Watching, having a porn.
Yeah.
I'm having a porn, leave me alone. That'll at least confuse Bethany enough. Yeah. So she's like, wait,
what?
Am I angry with him watching porn or his grammar? Yeah, this is a bit of a strange one. But other than not having a blowjob, everything's coming up, Ross. So that's good. So
yeah,
what are you doing? Because I still have no fucking idea.
It's QA, so quality assurance. So basically, we're testing games.
Ah, that sounds fun.
Ingrained with Reloaded Studios, which are just up the stairs from CEX, which is convenient.
Yes.
So basically, a couple of weeks ago, I got an email just out of the blue saying, because I'd interviewed for them last year.
Yeah.
And I'd just not gotten anywhere. I'd been kind of down about it, but I was like, fair enough, I'll try again when I've got more experience.
Yeah.
And email came out of nowhere with a job offer.
Nice.
I was lucky that the guys at CEX let me leave pretty quick. And I've been up there since yesterday.
So now you just have one normal job.
One normal job.
With normal hours.
That actually has weekends.
You have weekends now. Yeah. We might actually be able to have a beer at some point.
Yeah.
This might actually happen. Because for all the podcasts, other than that initial one where we better actually like talk to each other before we do a podcast,
yeah,
I don't think we've ever been for a beer. Because you, like, you know, when you work in weekends, I work kind of classic, you know, 9 to 5 hours. It just doesn't
The only
happen.
Opportunity that I can remember us having was at the Super Bowl, where I was finishing work. And you were
I was at the Super Bowl all day. Oh, yeah. I would have been hard fucking work.
Yeah.
Hard work. Yeah. The thing is, if you're jumping on someone who's been drinking...
Your texts were still making sense. I was quite impressed.
I'm a pretty good drunk, in fairness. Yeah. I'm a coherent drunk. I know where my line is. I mean, I'll go right up to the line.
Yeah.
But I tend to keep my shit together. I just... As Bethan says, I'm just more Liam. Like, I just become louder and more talkative.
I would say Kyle would probably say the same about me.
Yeah, but I'm not like a gibbering wreck. I don't kind of, you know, act the fool or anything like that. I'm just a bit more exuberant.
Right, okay.
Exuberant, that just sounds like a little bit more gay,
doesn't
it? It's
an artful euphemism is what that is.
Yeah, yeah. Just a little bit more likely to, you know, take a cock.
More Liam.
Just give me Monday to Friday, I'm just going to turn it down flat. But catch me on the weekend, I'm like, well, you know, I've had a few beers, we'll see how it goes.
You mean having a blowjob?
Oh my god, having such a great blowjob. Amazing. So yeah, so you're testing games.
Yes.
So what kind of games?
Specifically MMOs, free-to-play MMOs.
Free-to-play
MMOs? Which is not at all my scene, but it's...
But you're getting paid for it, so you get over that shit.
I'm getting paid, but I'm also learning a lot.
Mm-hmm.
It's been intense the last couple of days.
Yeah.
And when I say that, I've also spent like maybe 5 hours in the last 2 days just playing games.
That's not too bad.
But yeah.
I guess you got to learn how to kind of write them up.
Well,
and kind
one of them's APB, or All Points Bulletin, which
that's been out for ages.
Well, it was. This got re-released. So yeah. This is basically Reloaded bought the franchise and have been taking care of it, because
mm-hmm.
it kind of, I think it was kind of like the redheaded stepchild beforehand.
Yeah.
I know Stuart had played it.
Because I remember hearing about that game fucking years ago.
They'd had financial troubles and stuff.
So yeah, yeah.
Reloaded kind of is looking after it now.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that's like the main game, I think.
So what, you're doing quality assurance on a game which has been out for ages?
Well, because it's an MMO, it's constantly updated.
Yeah, yeah. God, those games must cost a fucking fortune to run.
Yeah.
Well, that's not too bad then. So you're playing APB for a living, essentially.
At the moment, yeah. I imagine it's going to be more about the testing soon.
But I need to
have point of reference for lots of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Some of it's been playing games. A lot of it has been like, you need to know this.
It's all
about how to like fill in the right forms.
Oh yeah, but that, I mean, once you get through that, you'll just be kind of, you'll get into a flow, and that'll come naturally.
I'm really looking forward to being a useful member of the team.
Yeah.
Everyone up there that I've spoken to is nice.
Yeah.
It does help that Cara made like a celebratory, you've got a job cake.
Yeah. So you took that in.
And I took, basically there was, she made too much. There was literally a bowl of icing left.
Ah, I love icing.
Chocolate icing. This is literally chocolate, butter, and sugar.
All good stuff. I could have had
that on toast. I could have just had it.
Yeah, I could just eat icing. Totally.
But yeah,
I'm not above that.
So I took that into work, and I was very popular. So.
Yeah, it's a quick way to make friends. Bring cake. Because, I mean, I'm not going to win over anyone with my winning personality. So I literally just carry cake everywhere I go and just hand out to people. Go, hi, I'm Liam. Here's cake.
Yeah.
Remember, when you think of Liam, think of the cake. Exactly. The cake isn't a lie. Well, the cake is a fucking lie. Because it suggests that I'm a nice person. Really, I'm a fucking douchebag.
The cake is the lie.
Yeah, the cake. My whole life is based around the cake being a lie. So, yeah, just don't trust the cake. So, yeah, good time. So, have you had a chance to play many games then, other than APB?
Well, I've made a start on Legend of Zelda.
Yes, as you said. Yes.
I'm going to actually... My heavy rain save... This will be a long time ago, you probably won't remember, but it was back when the PS3 updates were so bad that they were actually corrupting game saves.
Oh, I fucking hate PS3
updates. And I lost... I had all my investigators were still alive.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I was close.
Oh, so you played it before? Yeah.
Oh yeah. I got pretty close to the end, I think. But it's been long enough that I can give it another try.
Yeah, I think so. I think it might even get
me excited for Beyond Two Souls.
Yeah, I think that game's maybe due another playthrough for me, because, like, I don't know if I was in the right mood for it, because I just kind of blitzed through it and I was like, yeah, it was fine, but I was like, you know, there's plenty of plot holes and stuff, and I don't know.
It's David Cage. Like, my issue is David Cage.
Yeah, I wasn't enamoured by it. It was, you know, impressive, and I think we need games like that, and we need people like, you know, for all his faults, I think we need people like, excuse me, David Cage, who are going to kind of push the industry forward. And I think, you know, you see games like Heavy Rain, and, you know, you see the cast he has now for his upcoming games.
Yeah.
Because, you know...
Oh, Willem Dafoe's in it.
Willem Dafoe, exactly. So, you know, they can show this product and say, well, look what we're achieving now. And, you know, we want you on board. We're very serious about storytelling, about performance.
My issue with David Cage is, well, that he's quite pretentious.
Oh, yeah, but...
This is how games should be. It's like, well, no, this is how Hollywood should be.
Yeah, I don't like the way he says
things. If you want to bridge that gap, that's fine. Do it with your studio, and if you make a good experience, people will play it.
Yeah.
But don't tell other people that this is how the industry needs to move.
That isn't how the industry needs to move at all. Because the thing is, I don't like the idea that the industry has to move towards movies.
Yeah.
Like you say, I think there's a place for games like... Heavy Rain, but equally there's
Metal Gear. I mean, Metal Gear. Kojima is so obviously influenced by movies.
But he puts it through such a strong video game filter.
Yeah.
Such, like, Metal Gear, as much as he's influenced by movies, it's so video gamey. You know, it's that kind of perfect example of saying, okay, I do like movies, but I make video games.
And doing this sort of
thing. The thing is, Metal Gear, I honestly don't think it'd work as a movie. Not one fucking bit. There's no point, because just watch the fucking cutscenes.
Yeah.
It's basically a movie, but it's so video game. An
interactive cutscene.
Yeah, but it wouldn't work in any other way kind of thing. But yeah. Oh God, I love Metal Gear Solid.
I probably will play Metal Gear Solid 4 again.
Yeah, I've got that again. I kind of finished it, sold it, and I was like, I need to have this in my life again, so I bought it back. I haven't played it since I bought it back.
I'm looking forward to playing stuff like The Last of Us as well.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That'll be good.
I'll be playing that.
I'll get round to playing Uncharted 3 and finishing it.
Mm-hmm, yeah. As I said, great. Half of it's great.
I've got Demon's Souls up there, which I think is Stuart's way of going, fuck you, try this.
That's the first one, yeah?
Because apparently it's even harder than Dark Souls, and I have not enjoyed Dark Souls.
I loved what I played of Dark Souls. Like, when I got it, I kind of got straight into it. I actually reviewed it and got a long way into it. Like, yeah. Really played it. But then when I walked away from it, because I was like, it is a brutal experience,
yeah.
You know, and you have to stick with it. But I was doing okay. But I haven't,
there's,
you know,
really nothing to bring you back, is there?
Well, there is, but it's just like, I feel like I'd be starting back at scratch.
Yeah, but then you say that.
The world's amazing. The battle system is strong.
Is the world, like,
it's all the mood. It's just in the mood. It feels so brilliantly impressive.
But there's,
it's such a sense of
place.
There's
no character. Like, your character isn't a character. He doesn't develop.
No, he doesn't. It's not about the character. It's about the world. It's so unique. I can see. Don't worry, I can see where you're coming from.
Yeah.
If the world doesn't click with you in terms of the vibe and, you know, as I said, the ominous kind of impression that it's, you know, obviously trying to, I can't get the word out, but
convey.
Thank you very much. You know, it's not going to work because there's no other characters really, and it's just you, and, you know, it is just a blank canvas in terms of the actual character you're controlling. But I was really sold on the world, but it was more to do with, because it is such a brutal challenge, I was just like, oh, it feels like I'd be starting back at square one.
Yeah.
And I'm just not sure if I can get back into that habit of dying all the time, because the start of the game in particular, they throw that first boss battle at you really early and you will get fucking killed. And I was just like, oh, like, I know what the deal is. I'm just going to keep at this. And once I got over that initial hump, I was like, okay, I'm doing okay. But then every time
you think, you talk about the first boss, are you talking about the one on the watch, like, on the,
it's down in, like, a room kind of thing. Like, there's a big kind of
the big
hall.
Fat thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, right. I mean, the first time you don't fight it.
Mm-hmm.
You go around the side.
I can't remember. I think maybe I kept running.
And then you need to drop from the roof onto its head, and that takes off like half its health. Like,
oh,
that.
I didn't do that.
Yeah,
I don't think I did.
Well, that is one of the good things about the game, is that you can decide how you want to play it.
Yeah,
and often,
well, I decided to die a lot.
Often
first.
There is a smart way to do it.
Mm-hmm. I didn't find it then. I kind of struggled through that bit, but it's one of those games, like, every time you think you're getting on top of it, it kind of puts you in your place and makes you dead pretty quick.
Yeah,
but I love those bits when you just kind of like take a wrong turning, and then suddenly you turn a corner, and you're like, I am not ready for this, and you get like a huge beast or something. Like, I know you get that in games like Monster Hunter and stuff, but in that it's so much more terrifying.
Well, you can run away in Monster Hunter.
Yeah, well, you can arguably run away in this, but they often catch you and kill you, and once you're dead again, you're fucked essentially. But yeah, great game. But you've got a lot of gaming to do. Two new consoles.
Yeah.
Plenty to be done, but I finished Assassin's Creed 3.
You did actually finish it.
Yeah. Well, grinded my way through it a little bit. It's fine.
Yeah.
Like, it gets better as it goes on, but Connor's a bit of a wet fart. The thing is, at first he's boring, and then halfway through the game he just becomes an absolute dick.
Yeah.
He's such an asshole. And it never gives you the freedom you want. I still think it feels just like every other Assassin's Creed game, in that all the side missions, everything about the world is so signposted. I actually wrote a blog, www.brashgames.co.uk, check it out, it's fucking awesome, about how, even though it's like 12 years old, Assassin's Creed 3 needs to be more like Shenmue. Like, I'm amazed that more world games aren't like Shenmue. I know I keep coming back to the Dreamcast, but no, it's like, you have this amazing world, yeah? But everything feels just like cardboard cutout.
It just needs more forklifts. I don't know what it is.
No, stick with me here. The thing is, with not only can you speak to everyone in a shared movie, but more importantly, not everyone who comes up to talk to you is want something or need something. Some people are just there. They're just in the world. Whereas in Assassin's Creed, they're either completely blank out, like, you know, just mindless drones wandering around. Yeah. Or they're people like, oh, they, you know, that group will start a riot. That group, he needs you to deliver something. Everyone has a set role. It doesn't feel organic in any way. Like, it looks the part in, like, a still picture.
Yeah.
But when you're playing it, everything feels so structured style. It still feels like the first game, just that, expanded.
I think that's one of the things that the Animus is used to explain.
Mm-hmm.
The Animus has been used as an art, like, people have done blogs on that as well, like, on what an amazing narrative device the Animus is,
mm-hmm.
in that it kind of makes a reason for that, because you're not playing the game, you're living a memory.
Yeah.
This is, like, I know that is a piss-poor excuse, but it's true.
That's exactly what it is, though. It's the same thing as saying, oh, this is the reason we have invisible walls.
Yeah.
Like, I just think the world's... Like, they need to... The thing is, Assassin's Creed fundamentally needs to change. It's been the same for too long.
I honestly hope that Black Flag is that change.
Yeah, well, the one thing, obviously, it's going to have... And easily the best thing about Assassin's Creed 3 was the naval battles. They are really good. It was impressive. And I did like, again, especially the Frontier... But it felt...
It didn't, because there was nothing to do.
That was the problem. It looked amazing, but all the time I kept thinking... I remember this being fun in Red Dead Redemption.
Yeah.
Like, when you're just wandering around and you had things to do. Like, you could hunt, but it never felt fun.
No.
It just felt like...
Hide in the trees, drop on a deer.
Yeah, it looked the part, but again, it didn't feel... And nothing about the world feels cohesive. Nothing feels organic.
Yeah.
And for that reason, I'm just like, they've really got to start something new now. Because before it was fine, because, you know, you were still wowed by the mechanics. But now the mechanics are second nature. They're old hat.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to be a dick, but they are. We've done this before. And they're still not perfect by any stretch. And it's just like, yeah, Assassin's Creed 2. And then going to a game like Zelda, you're like, this game's so much more polished. It's ridiculous. But I've played all kinds of weird games over the past few weeks. I downloaded Sleeping Dogs, which, a little rough around the edges, but not too bad.
Yeah, a little bit. But the gameplay itself is solid.
Yeah, the combat's really good.
Yeah.
Combat's up there with, like, Arkham Asylum.
The driving isn't its strength, but it's great. Fun.
Yeah, it's not bad. It's competent without being kind of, you know, genuinely good, I suppose.
Yeah.
For lack of a better term. But Sleeping Dogs, I'll stick with it because I like, the world and their representation of Hong Kong, I think, is very strong. The only problem is, and it's a problem inherent within the genre, is that when you're in a car... It makes sense that there's not too much traffic because you only want a few cars, but you want to be able to drive around at speed.
Yeah.
But when you get out, you're suddenly standing in central Hong Kong and there's no fucking cars around. And you're like, well, that's a bit strange.
Yeah.
But that's just a problem inherent, as I said, within the kind of within the genre and the sandbox kind of style.
Yeah.
But that's fine. It's the kind of game I'll kind of drop in and out of. But one game, like, honestly, maybe the best 7 out of 10 I've played in years
uh-huh.
is The Amazing Spider-Man. Fucking really fun. It's rough around the edges because, again, you can see they've had to rush it out in, you know, to kind of fit with the film. But it's made by Beenox and it's kind of split between their style of games. I'm not sure if you played the games they made, the kind of more cartoony ones, like the Ultimate Spider-Man style. Like
yes,
Fractured Time and all that.
Well, Ultimate Spider-Man on the original Xbox.
That was kind of good.
Probably the last Spider-Man game I really enjoyed.
I really enjoyed that. But even the ones they've made on the 360, the ones like the alternative Spider-Man.
I know Stuart quite liked...
Well, they've basically split the game into that style, which they've made, and the outdoor versions, like you remember from Spider-Man 2.
Because
all the little missions are in the city, and they have nailed the swinging.
Yeah.
Like, the feeling of it. Like, the camera's more dynamic now, and it just swinging around the city, even though it's simplistic, feels super fun.
Yeah.
And it looks good. For a game which was made to coincide with the film, it looks really good.
That's good.
But then the main mission, story missions, are indoors. But because they're kind of used to making this, the actual combat and the mechanics work. Because usually, like, you know, the same control scheme for outsiders inside, it feels too twitchy then.
Yeah.
But they kind of... adapt it to work indoors. It's still, like, it gets a bit bland. You can see it's been stretched out in the end. They've obviously run out of time or money because it all starts to look a little bit samey inside. Fundamentally, it's a solid game. And,
there was rumours that they're going to just take that engine and build an actual Spider-Man game on top of it.
They should. They should, if, because the thing is, like I said, they've already done a bunch of indoor style Spider-Man games. Now they've done the outdoor section, and the outdoor section is easily the best bit, even though the story missions aren't strongly linked to it so much. But yeah, despite the rough edges and the clearly rushed bits, that is like a really good game.
It's one it's one I've been wanting to give a go.
Well, I got it in game for £13.
£13.
Yeah, yeah. That's pretty good. And it's well worth picking up. As I said, it's worth just swinging around the fucking city. Yeah. And the story, again, usually you just think, oh, it's like a lame-ass retelling of the film. It's set after the film, and the story's okay. Although, yeah. Nolan North's in that as well. He's in every game I play at the moment.
Oh, of course, yeah.
Every game I turn on at the moment, that fucker is showing up. It's ridiculous. Because for some odd reason, I decided to buy X-Men.
Not Destiny.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, why? It's so bad.
Because it was like, it was a 2 for 10. There were 2 games for £10 deal.
No.
And I wanted Halo Wars. And it was one of the few games I hadn't played. And I'm not going to lie, part of me was like, I want to find out if this is as shit as people say.
And you know what?
Do you ever get that feeling with games where, because there's no demo, it comes back to that demo argument, where you just like, people say it's shit, and I had the same thing with films. I'm like, I have to find out for myself.
No.
I had that with this.
I
And I've played an hour, and it's utter shit. It's so bad that the camera, I keep changing it to inverted. Every time I go to a cutscene and go back,
it comes back.
It takes it off fucking inverted. It's retarded.
I never get like that. If
Nolan North's in it though, motherfucker.
If I think that I will like something,
mm-hmm.
and I want to play it, and someone else tells me it's crap,
mm-hmm.
I'll probably still play it.
Yeah.
If I am like not sure, and I hear bad reviews come in, I will not play it.
See,
for example, Alien Colonials Marines.
I'm gonna play it.
Colonial Marines, you know, I was interested in, and then it's been panned by everyone.
Yeah.
And I'm like, right, I'm not putting myself through that then.
I'm totally gonna put myself through it. But I have to know if it's as shit as people say. That's the thing. Like, it's in my head. I was the same as you. I was super excited. It's been utterly panned. I know it's gonna be shit, but I have to experience it for myself. I have to know. I almost bought it on the weekend, but I was like, no, don't buy it. Because I literally, in one hand, I had Dishonored,
uh-huh.
and in the other hand, I had Colonial Marines. And this is how my brain works. This was a big decision.
Yeah.
I was like, I don't know what to get. It's like, I know this is going to be good, but I also know this is going to be shit. And I have to know how shit it is. In the end, common sense prevailed.
Yeah.
I put down Colonial Marines and I bought Dishonored.
Well, that's good.
Because I haven't played it, and it's bizarre, because, you know, that game won Game of the Year, when the BAFTA for Game of the Year,
yeah.
and I haven't fucking played it. I'm like, I've got to get it. And again,
came out the same week as XCOM.
XCOM.
And I would say, X what?
XCOM. No, get to fuck XCOM. Yeah, I hear you quite like that game now.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, Dishonored, I am going to play it, but I'm going to get through fucking X-Men first. I'm a fucking loser.
You're not actually going to finish it, are you?
No. I worry that I might get through more of it than I should. I know. I'm insane. It's like, I have to know how bad it is. But the thing is, I can't, because I've got 3 games for review coming this week.
It's X-Men insofar as it's set in that universe, mm-hmm. but none of the major heroes are there, are they?
They're all in it. It throws every fucking character at you.
Yeah?
They've obviously got the license. Basically, you can choose one of 3 characters. And they're like new characters, and basically you build them up, and they've got different backstories. But literally, I played it for an hour today, and I saw about 17 fucking X-Men. Yeah. It just keeps going, like, every two, you get through. I think it's because they know it's so repetitive, and the fight mechanics are pretty shit.
Yeah.
That's just like, all right, we'll throw another X-Men at you. You can fight alongside this X-Men for, like, you know, 5 minutes. Just to kind of break it up. There is a little bit of platforming, but fuck me, it's gash. It's a bad game. I'm going to play far too much of it. But, you know, I've got Metal Gear.
The fact that it actually went in your Xbox is,
I know, it's fucking retarded. Yeah. It's unbelievable. But, you know, we got good games coming. Because I got Metal Gear Rising coming for review, which obviously I'm going to bum. I'm just going to write that in the review. Metal Gear Rising, bummed it, not. Metal Gear Rising, God of War Ascension, which I'm not too excited about, but
did you get that for review?
Yeah.
You'll need to give me it after you're done.
The way you said that was like you were trying to fucking hypnotise me. I wish you could see his face. You will have to give that to me once you're done. I'm going to as well. But yeah,
you because I know what you mean. Oh no, I've traded it in already.
Oh no, I'm going to keep God of War. Well, the thing is, I've heard the multiplayer is supposed to be the best thing about it.
It is meant to be really good fun.
Yeah. So yeah, I'll finish that up pretty quick, so I'm doing it for review, and you can steal it off me then.
Awesome.
And another PS3 game, I'm getting Sly Cooper Thieves in Time, which I'm quite excited about, actually, because I've never played a Sly Cooper game.
I played the first one. It was good fun.
Mm-hmm.
It reminded me a little bit of the medieval games. I don't know why. I think it's just because it takes place at night and it's like a Sony platformer.
Maybe.
I mean, I wish they'd bring the medieval games back.
I never played them.
I love them.
Yeah, yeah.
The main character doesn't have a bottom jaw.
Yeah.
So he can't talk.
Mm-hmm.
So everything's communicated through like sounds. So when he's like
annoyed.
Yeah.
Is he in All Stars?
He is, yeah.
Yeah. I actually want to play that.
Sir Daniel Fortescue.
Are you going to get that?
No.
You not?
No, because it's...
You're saying you've been playing as your online?
It's still 18 quid for it, but I probably will get Smash Brothers Brawl at some point.
Oh, I've got that. Yeah, I've hardly played it, bizarrely. Like, I played the one on the GameCube quite a bit. I'm absolutely shit at that game.
I think I'm going to have to come round. We'll have to record at your house one night.
And just steal all my games. Just wipe them out. Well, I've got plenty of decent Wii games left, and... Yeah, PS3 games, you can rinse those as well. I've got some pretty good ones.
Awesome.
And as I said, I've got all these fucking games to play. The thing is, though, I've got all these games to play, and all I want to play at the moment is Mass Effect 3. That's getting further down the list, because everyone seems to be talking about one Tomb Raider I really need to play.
Yeah.
And like, I'm going to have to get BioShock Infinite when it comes out.
I can't believe we haven't spoken about this shit.
I know, right?
I am.
This was my little segue.
I am
only 46 minutes into the fucking podcast.
Utterly devastated that I have this fantastic new job. Because
you want to be playing this instead?
There's going to be like a gap in how I'm paid.
Yeah.
So to save me financial strife or having to borrow from Cara at the end, like just before I get paid for my new job,
mm-hmm.
I can't afford to drop 40 quid.
So I've got like 100-something pounds worth of vouchers for CEX. So I'm like, as soon as it shows up in there, I'm just going
to
get it.
Yeah.
Because I'm like,
to be honest, you'll have a wait, because I think it's a single player game with a decent campaign.
But you know how quickly people fucking rinse through these games nowadays. I don't think it's going to be that long.
Maybe not. I don't know.
I don't know, but as soon as it comes... Because the thing is, as you can see here, I've got other games to be playing. I got X-Men to finish. I got fucking Mass Effect 3 sitting on a shelf I need to play. But no, as soon as I see it in there, I'm just... Like, whatever, I'm just going to go in and get it. Because I don't know why... I wasn't that excited for BioShock Infinite. But over the past month... It's slowly built on me, and I'm like, this game sounds amazing.
Well, that's weird that you wouldn't be excited about it either, because I know that you did like BioShock 2.
Yeah, BioShock 2 of all things.
Yeah, whereas for me, I was really put off of it by the whole... The fact that the gameplay was exactly the same, but...
No, it was better. That's why I liked it.
But the world wasn't as interesting.
I'm in that unique situation, because... I stopped halfway through one because I couldn't get on with the shooter mechanics.
Yeah.
And at the time, it was driving me crazy, and I just never went back to it. So when I went into two, the world still felt fresh, if you see what I mean. Because I hadn't played all the way through one, I kind of stopped. So Rapt still felt relatively fresh to me. And of course, I was like, oh, but the combat's so much better. So I probably enjoyed it more for that reason, more than maybe I should have. So
the end of the first BioShock is amazing.
Isn't the end like before twist. The end though? Yeah, I've heard there's a twist.
There's a twist, and then there's the boss fight, which is also quite good.
Yeah. Oh, I know about the twist.
Going back, like, yeah, so
I know the story.
Would you kindly?
Yeah. I know all of it. Because I kept arguing about going back, and I played the demo again. I was like, can I get on with this? And again, I was like, oh, this looks amazing. But as soon as I started shooting again, I was like, oh, fuck, I just don't enjoy it. So I was just like, I'm going to get this out of my system. I'm just going to find out what happened at the end. So there's no need to play it anymore. I played, and like I said, it wasn't like I played 20 minutes. I played like 6-7 hours of that game.
Yeah,
I played
a lot of it. Got a few plasmids.
Oh, yeah, I got like easily halfway through that game. Yeah. Easily. So it's not like I've kind of like I have exactly half experienced it. But, you know, I got the general gist of the game. I get the tone and stuff. I just didn't get to the end.
Yeah.
But BioShock 2 I finished, and now all of a sudden I'm like, I just want to like quit my job and play Tomb Raider and BioShock for like weeks on end. I just can't be fucked with anything else.
But I really am looking forward to playing BioShock.
But then I want to play Metal Gear Rising as well. It's too many games to play. Too few hours in the day.
Yes.
It's fucking criminal. But then this is coming from a guy who's currently playing X-Men fucking Destiny.
Yeah.
So I am going to let it stand on. I do not. But I haven't actually got much else to talk about, because I didn't really prepare for this because I was so fucking busy in work. And then when I came home and started playing X-Men, I really should have prepared better. But, well, the thing is, I was in work. I said I was really busy. I was so busy, but we had enough time to make up a new movie game. It is the worst movie game ever. Basically, all you do, you take a movie and you replace one of the words with cunt. So basically anything. So Die Hard would either be Die Cunt.
Or, that is awful.
Or Cunt Hard. The best one I thought was actually just Lincoln, which would just be cunt. Although I reckon there is no better one. If anyone can ever think of a better film for this game, if you can call it a game, is Rambo First Blood. Because it works on every single level. Because it can be Rambo Cunt Blood, Rambo First Cunt, or Cunt First Blood. And everyone's a winner as far as I'm concerned. It's the worst fucking game ever. So that was made up in work. So, you know, achieving and all that jazz. But it was weird. I was actually thinking about, you know, because we were talking about, like, the best games of the generation. And I was actually thinking of, like, my favourite moments of the generation. Oh. And one which keeps coming back, and some of the ones that keep coming back, are actually not from the best games.
Okay.
Like, I have such fond memories of the boss battles from Blue Dragon, for instance. Just because of that fucking music. Yeah, it's like terrible, but I look back and I have genuinely fond memories.
I remember easing my way through that game and then the boss fight being rock solid.
I don't know. Like, I can't remember struggling through any particular part. Like, when I think of, like, struggling, I think of Lost Odyssey and that last battle at the end of the second disc or the start of the third disc we talked about before, which was just fucking nails. But, yeah, I think of that. And bizarrely, I think of listening to Skrillex while playing Ridge Racer Unbounded. Because I'd never listened to Skrillex before.
Oh, I thought you were going to talk about Far Cry.
No.
I was so annoyed when that happened.
See, that's another thing. I forgot I've got fucking Far Cry 3 sitting on the shelf.
Really?
Yeah, just sitting on my shelf.
That's a great game.
I know.
And that's a solid 20 hours at least.
But I have commitments to make, because I told my friend he could have Metal Gear Rising after I finish that. I've told you could have God of War Ascension after I finish that.
But don't worry, I've got plenty to play.
Yeah.
You've got to review
I've got to review them, so I have to play these games. But
I'll trade it, don't worry.
I need... Oh, that's fine. I need to play that. But to get back to the point... I have just generally fond memories of that game full stop, because I know it wasn't everyone's cup of tea. I love Ridge Racer, and I played Ridge Racer Unbounded and I fucking hated it for like 4 hours.
Uh-huh. Until you got it.
Got it, yeah. And it when it clicked, man, and it just seemed to click, and all of a sudden, like, I'd never really listened to Skrillex before, but I just remember, like, the kind of music kicking in as I was playing the game, and it's just one of those perfect fits where the music, whatever you think of it, fits the game perfectly.
Yeah.
And that game, when it clicked, I was like, because I remember the reviews being all over the place. And it's right, because if it doesn't click for you, then it's terrible. Because Edge gave it like a 9 and said it was one of the best racing games of the generation.
Yeah.
And for like 4 hours, I was like, what the fuck are they talking about? You know, Edge giving it a 9. This isn't like fucking IGN or GameSpot giving a 9. Edge giving a 9. They don't just dish out the 9s.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, it kind of all came together. I was like, yeah. I think it's a little too rough around the edges to give it a 9. Yeah. I give it an 8. I think there's a 9 out of 10 sequel to be made, if it ever was. But, yeah, when it comes together, that game's fucking balls deep, man. It's really good. But, yeah, I think of that. I think another, like, playing Wii Sports. Like, Wii Sports.
The first time, yeah.
I didn't play it loads. And, you know, you go back now, you're like, oh, this is simplistic. But
I still remember, like, playing that drunk. Me and my friend, I hate golf. I hate almost everything about golf.
Yeah, I don't like golf.
And, I still remember playing Wii Golf with my friend Craig and trying to beat each other's high score.
Mm-hmm.
And I would be out one night and I'd get a text from him just with a number.
Yeah.
I'd be like, oh, you bastard.
See, that's
right, guys, I'm going home.
Where it's not like online, you get like a call or a text, because that happened with, do you remember 1080 on the N64? The snowboard game?
Yeah.
We had like on the half pipe level. It's like three of us had this ongoing competition of who could get the highest score. And like the next day in school, you go in and you'd be like just write it down on a piece of paper and hand it to you. And that was, oh, fucking hell. It was so cool just having that kind of competitive spirit where it's not like up on a leaderboard. You're not competing against, you're not depressed because you're actually 400,000th in the world.
Yeah.
You're like, you're number one out of your three friends, and that's all that fucking matters. But that's very cool. But yeah, just playing bowling when pissed. Because, you know, it seems like old hat now, but at the time, people forget the Wii was a big deal. And that was, like, nothing else. and the bowling in particular just fucking worked. Like, you could put the spin on it and stuff. Until, like, I literally never played again since I took a chunk out of my couch. I took a chunk out of my leather couch, and we just moved in.
You are that so guy. You are the person that that's safety water is there for.
My friend named the person with the TV.
Longer than that.
But we won't go into that. It's just, I'm just happy that we've got the TV. This is good news.
Yeah. So, I mean, when it comes to great kind of part, I know technically Guitar Hero was last gen, but Guitar Hero and Rock Band were so, like, great nights were had with those games.
See, my friends were never into it, so I have played it in a group, but it was at like a party. But it wasn't with my friends.
Me and
the
Stuart,
skill levels were so disparate.
Yeah.
Everyone.
Stuart and I, in two sittings, got all the way through Beatles Rock Band.
I actually blitzed it. I actually quite enjoyed
it. I like the Beatles. I'm not a massive fan.
That actually made me like the Beatles more.
Yeah, that's what I was getting at.
I never owned a Beatles album until I played that game. I think part of it was they got the aesthetic perfect.
Yeah.
And it had... How good was the intro?
Yeah.
I fucking loved it. I watched the intro to that game about six times.
We would have that on the monitors at Game Station when that came out.
It just looked ace, didn't it?
Yeah.
But the way they did it, kind of chronologically, like in the different styles.
The Abbey Road stuff.
Yeah, they fucking know that.
Like, the drug allegory is pretty thick.
Oh, yeah.
But when it, like, it all starts to, like, go
get
swirly.
That was easily my favourite Rock Band or Guitar Hero game.
To be honest, Rock Band 3 had a lot of awesome features in it.
I never played that. And that was the one where you could get like pro versions of the controllers and stuff on it. But that was the thing though. I mean, as good as it was, supposedly I haven't played it.
Yeah.
It was getting to the point where it's like, alright, this is just getting a bit silly now. You see the bubble was going to... It was a bit harsh on Rock Band 3 because the bubble burst just before it, didn't it? And then the reviews came in, they were great, but it was like, oh,
well,
too late. The bubble burst on
this bit. Mostly because Activision had gotten too greedy too quickly.
Yeah, because Rock Band 3 sold fuck all.
Yeah.
I remember the sale
thing. It was by far the best one.
Yeah.
I mean, they were all good because... The second one, like, and this is a very un-EA thing, but you could download tracks that you'd already... bought.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's
for the
cool.
first one
yeah.
into the second and third one.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the second one into the third one as well.
That was weird because the bubble burst on that, it wasn't like people slowly got tired.
I loved it.
It happened fucking
overnight. The entire Who's Next album was on there.
Yeah, yeah.
So I could, like, just...
That's
play the Who
cool.
at Rock Band.
Has there ever been a game which is just nosedive in terms of sales where the quality has remained, if anything has got better? Because Rock Band 3, you say, was the best one.
Yeah.
But I remember seeing the difference in sales between Guitar Hero 3 and Guitar Hero, I think the last one was Warriors of Rock.
Yeah.
And it was fucking night and day.
Warriors of Rock was 4, and then there was number 5.
Oh, that was it. The difference between Guitar Hero 3 and Guitar Hero 5 in terms of sales... was so... I mean, Guitar Hero 3 was nothing short of a phenomenon. I remember, like, everybody... That was the first one I had.
Then there was World Tour.
But I was never... I never got above okay. Like, I could get to... I could play that... Like, I was never comfortable using my little finger for that fifth fret.
Put me on four...
As long as I had the four colours, I got up to a level where I was, like, pretty speedy. Like, I was getting decent scores and I was relatively...
What difficulty were you playing on?
I got up to hard.
Yeah.
But I couldn't get, like, and even then, playing on hard, I was fine on hard as long as there were just four notes. If I was playing a hard song where there was five notes, I'd lose my grip because I was built around keeping my hand in like a claw, like just moving my fingers.
It was maybe only the first four or five that didn't have that fifth.
It got hard for me there. I could get through a track, but my score was shit.
Yeah.
But it was like getting up even to like a decent level in Guitar Hero. I never, like, played it enough to make that jump. Because you play it first, like, this is fucking solid.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden it clicks, doesn't it? You're like, oh, no, I can do this. It just seemed to happen like that. But I never played it enough to have that next jump. Because my friend said the same thing, because he was shit hot.
Yeah.
And he was like, yeah, he used to struggle loads, and then all of a sudden one day he woke up and he could just play that extra chord.
Yeah.
And everything was fine.
It's some songs are just incredibly difficult.
Did you see some of those fucking videos? Where people...
Well, Through the Fire and Flames.
Some people...
There's a guy that can play that without even looking at the screen.
I know.
That's incredible.
That's the one I was going to say. It's just... That's not incredible. That's fucking lame. Well, the thing is, I don't know if it's.
Now that I've been watching a bit of South Park, I've seen the South Park episode.
Oh yeah, it's good. It is good. But I mean, that's up there with. I saw a video of a dude playing the arcade machine of Ikaruga. I'm not sure if you ever played Ikaruga, but it's
a
treasure shooter, a bullet hell. It's not just a bullet hell shooter. You have to change. Velocity, that's not the right word, but basically it's just, you change colour and you can go through certain bullets. It's a very hard game. A game I've played quite a bit but never actually finished.
Right.
He, in the video, is controlling both ships at the same time. So he's got a hand each on both arcade sticks, using a fucking finger for the button, and he's controlling both at the same time. And it is mental.
Wow.
I don't know how you get to that level.
Only child, I guess.
Only child.
Never had anyone to play with.
Oh, yeah. It was just fucking Ikaruga and his dick. I mean, they're the only two things he could have been playing with. And I don't think he's even playing with his dick if he's doing that, to be honest. So.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's because he'll be knee-deep in Puntang. You know?
Oh, yeah.
Hey, ladies, look at my bullet.
Have you seen this bitch? See me? Both ships. Both ships. I expect to be having a blowjob real soon. I think that's probably as good a place to end as any.
Just before that would have been.
Yeah, it would have been wise. But we'll be back next week.
That is a threat.
That is a threat, but it's also a promise. Yes. You know, after missing last week, we're not going to miss another one. We'll be here next week. Come hell or high water. Unless it's really, really cold again. Fuck that chat.
Yeah.
But please do check us out on Facebook. Check us out on Twitter. And of course, you have the website www, which is... I don't even need to say that. I keep doing it. Brashcast.
HTTP.
It's not even Brashcast. It's brashgames.co.uk.
/podcast.
He's confused everybody.
It's okay. Just go to our Facebook. I'll direct you to it.
Yes. And of course, more importantly, go to iTunes. Download us. Subscribe. Yeah. Listen. Review.
Leave lovely comments.
Leave a comment. Leave something nice.
There have been lots of people adding me on Twitter recently.
That's good.
And a few of them have been friends of Brashcast, so I'm wondering if we're picking up some listeners from
maybe so. I've been a bit of a cunt on Twitter, in fairness. Like, I haven't been on it nearly enough. I've been writing quite a few articles for Brash Games recently. In fact, go on to Brash Games. Everything is by me. I've written loads of blogs. And that's the thing. You come to Brash Games, like, I know you can get the reviews everywhere else, but me personally, I'm very big on writing blogs because it's a unique opinion. And it's not necessarily the opinions you get here.
If you want your reviews a bit taller, a bit more Welsh.
Yeah, a little bit more Welsh and a little bit more gay on the weekends. That's what it's got. I'm not actually gay on the weekends. Just in case Bethan listens to this, it's like, I won't let you out the fucking house again if you're out sucking dick. That doesn't happen. But please do check us out and, you know, come back next week. So until then, GTFL.
See ya.
White girls, you are attracted to us. Black girls, you are attracted to us. Asian girls, you are attracted to us. Latinas, you are attracted to us. Attracted to us, but you're never gonna get it. Never, never gonna get it. No, you're never gonna get it because we're shy.
Shine.